Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I am your producer and co-host, Alex Wong. We're waiting to see where William Liu is. He is connecting at the moment. You know, these are the hazards of working remote. So welcome to the Raptor Show. We've got a pretty jam-packed show today. I know Will wants to talk, and a lot of fans want to hear about Eric Flynn's comments, Malachi Flynn's dad's comments of late, and we're going to answer some fan questions as well. We're also doing a Kyle Lowry Adidas collection giveaway at the end of the first segment, and I believe William Liu is now connected. What's going on, Will?
Not too much, Alex. This is probably the most prep that we have done for a Friday show, which we generally get to, you know, fan questions and, you know, kind of answer them on the spot, but as you mentioned, this Eric Flynn thing is something that cannot be ignored, unlike Malachi in the rotation. So do you want to just start there?
Yeah, we'll definitely get to it. I know our producer, Derek, just helped me secure a special guest to do small talk with you today on Small Talk Friday. So who do we have on the line right now?
Can I reveal myself?
Oh, it's a familiar voice. What's going on, Faisal Kamisa? Please take it away. 5 minutes of small talk with Will Liu.
Listen, Will, streets are saying Liverpool's better without Salah and Mane. What do you think?
Which streets, man? Come on, everyone knows that's wrong, man. But shout out Diogo Jota, you know, best Portuguese player in the Premier League, obviously. Look at the finishes that he had. Single-handedly carrying Liverpool past Arsenal at the Emirates.
João Cancelo slander is what I'm hearing man.
You know what? You're right, actually. João Cancelo has been incredible.
Wow, man.
That was supposed to be, you know, United slander, but I guess
I know what it was. I know what it was supposed to be. Listen, well, I got a real question. Do you know what an NFT is or no? Because I'm still confused, bro.
I'm one of those people that, you know, the Quest Trade commercials when they're like, shouldn't you be doing something with your money and not just putting it in your savings account? I'm like, damn, that's me.
What?
All I do is just work hard, make money, don't spend it, and then just keep it in a bank account. If people give me some sound financial advice, please tell me. Don't tell me to buy NFTs. Just give me like actual financial advice, please. I need it.
Why are those Questrade commercials so emotional, man? It feels like they're like talking about the most morbid things, but they're just talking about how to get more rich, right? I'm like, yo, guys, smile a little bit, right? I don't know.
Yeah, they're pretty dark, especially that one where like a friend goes to another friend's house and is like, oh man, great place you have it. He's like, yeah, why don't you have a place? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, just
and it's like, yo, what? Yeah.
The other guy's like, yo, why are you still investing with mom and dad's guys? Like, yo, they're my parents. Like, maybe I just trust them, guy. I don't know. Do you know what NFT stands for?
You know, I wish I did.
Yeah. I thought it was I thought it was no Flynn time, but I guess that's just to Nick Nurse, right?
Wow. Damn. Yeah. That's the most Raptors you and I have talked together, even though you've been on the show like eight times already.
I actually don't like it. I only come on the show to talk non-Raptors thing and to annoy Alex with how much soccer we talk. So, no, we got to change that. Okay, another question, because this has also been on my mind, and like I don't really have anyone to talk this out with right now. Do you know what pushing P means?
Also, that's a no for me, man.
Great, man.
I've seen that a lot too, and I'm confused as well. This is tough. You and I right now are Michael Grange saying cap with a K right now. Shout out Michael Grange on the show this week, but unfortunately he did tweet that out like one time, and it's hard to live that one down. But you keep on.
Do you feel old, like with all these things happening around you? Like I don't know, man. Sometimes I'm like, I think I'm just washed now, you know?
Yeah, no, I think I'm definitely washed. Like, you know, I realized like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago when I turned 29, that this was going to be the last year of my 20s. And I was going to feel like, wow, you know, this is a little bit sad. You know, I'm about to turn 30 or whatever. And then I realized, like, personality-wise, like, I have easily been, like, 40 for, like, the last, like, decade already. For the entirety of my 20s, I've essentially operated as a 40-year-old. So that actually just means I'm about to enter my 50s spiritually, which is, you know, which is fine. I mean, that's, you know, that's, obviously your life doesn't, you know, stop when you're in your 50s. Like that's your prime, that's your golden years almost. But yeah, it's a little tough. I'm definitely washed though, is what I'm trying to say.
Man, I've been washed.
What about you though, man? I see you kind of out here.
Kind of out here what? Like I'm just tired all the time. I think I've been washed for like 7 years, and I think it's only taken up until now to admit that, yeah, I am washed, you know? I can admit that I'm now over the hill and ready to accept that I'm not going to understand every trend anymore, you know?
What's the youngest thing that you partake in?
Like, what do you mean?
The most hip thing that you, like, the most trendy hip thing that you, like, regularly partake in, like,
Like, I post on TikTok, you know? Like, I don't know, but sometimes I feel like, should I be anymore? Like, I don't know, man. It's a young person's game. Not young anymore. Like, I wear like, sneakers that have, like, tags on them. Still. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Alex does that.
No, too, you got good sneakers. Don't put yourself down for that. No, you're still in your 20s for sneakers-wise.
Even that, I'm just kind of over it, man. Anyways, hey, this has been good, man. This has been good.
Hey, appreciate
very therapeutic.
All right, Faisal. Thank you for joining the show, as always. Alex, are you here? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm back, man. You know, I just, you know, I think every Friday, I just want to give you a new small talk guest.
That was pretty successful. That was more compact than last week with Derek. Or with Dylan.
Dylan just went 12
not
minutes.
That, not all producers are the same, but...
Dylan said the marathon continues. All right, let's get to this Eric Flynn situation. Where do you want to start? You want me to read these Facebook posts? How do you want to do this?
Yeah, you set the scene, read the Facebook post, and then I have very clearly stated in the rundown of what I agree with, what he said, what I disagree with, and then just we'll go into the situation, Malachi. But please tell the listeners, first off, who Eric Flynn is, why he posts so much on Facebook, and then what he said in most recent Facebook posts. Go ahead.
Eric Flynn is the father of Raptors guard Malachi Flynn, and he is a very passionate father, passionate basketball observer, passionate Raptors fan. He started the Raptors Nation movement last year. I feel like the tweets, not the tweets, he mostly is on Facebook. I feel like the messages were more positive last year. I think there was a lot of excitement about Malachi coming into the rookie season. Obviously, we know what kind of role Malachi doesn't have with the team this year. So a few screenshots that were provided to me by my pal William Liu. So Eric Flynn earlier this week posted, "Who says to a 21-year-old kid what the blank is wrong with him? You really need to check yourself." And this was in reference to Nick Nurse's reaction during the Dallas game. And then there was a series of conversations that took place in the Facebook comments. At one point, Eric Flynn said, he was asked, "Do you trust Nick Nurse?" And Eric Flynn replied, "I pray for Nick Nursery, but the way he has treated my son, I wouldn't treat a dog that way. Malachi Flynn is a better person than he is a basketball player, and why would you treat a good person that way?" And then there was another comment where he pointed out that Fred, I believe, is shooting 41 of 120 over several game sample. And he said, quote, "It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know when you are tired. The first thing that goes is your jump shot. Fred needs a rest. If not, he may not be around the whole season. These players are human beings. They are not machines, nor are they robots. I have, by the grace of God, coached at the high school and college level and have turned down D1 coaching jobs 20 years ago. I have never seen a player play this many minutes, and we are not even at the halfway point." And I also believe at some point he also said, "We all know if the Warriors had been with KD and Klay, they would have swept the Raptors." So I think I've covered really the main comments that he's made this week, and I know you have some comments about the comments.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so first off, this is where I agree with Eric. All right. Fred not having the legs to shoot of late, I mean, it was very clear when he shot 4 of 20 against the Mavericks, he didn't have the legs there. He is playing too many minutes, and I do agree that the risk is that you won't have him around for the whole season. Now, obviously, this actually specifically is tied to his son, Malachi, who, you know, clearly he wants Malachi to come into the game. It's not necessarily about Fred so much as about you want to have Malachi come into the game and be the backup point guard and give, you know, Fred more rest or more chances to sit. But still, like, I agree with the point, right? I also agree with the point that Nick can be abrasive with how he communicates, right? Obviously, the visceral reaction to Scotty not putting a hand up against Luka and just walking away on a game-winning shot is pretty absurd, but, like, it's also completely understandable. I don't think he's showing up his player. I think his player kind of showed up himself by making a silly decision, right? And so I think everybody would have reacted in that same way. Maybe you expect Nick to maybe be a bit more muted, but come on. it's a very close game. The Raptors have competed. They're in difficult circumstances. They extend the game. There's a one-point game in the last minute. It's all you can really ask for, and then you don't put a hand up. I'm sure you could probably ask yourself, like, why did he do that, right? Maybe you could have said, why did he do that, rather than, you know, what the blank is wrong with him. But you understand, all right? So that's something that I can't agree with in terms of what Nick does with the way he communicates, because, you know, he will go with the public call-out route. And we have multiple examples of this: Stanley, Rondé, Chris Boucher, the entire Raptors bench this season. You know, that happens. Okay, so this is where I agree with what Eric Flynn said. And also, obviously, I agree with, you know, just how passionate he is as a parent. I mean, I think every parent, especially, I'm not even just for the NBA players, should feel this invested and this involved. Maybe not necessarily with a guy who's 23, but, you know, parents never stop being parents. I think that's the one lesson I've learned, even though I'm about to turn 30, that my parents still routinely just, you know, manage every part of my life, or at least feel they have the right to. So where I disagree with Eric is this. The comment that he said, we all know if the Warriors had been with KD and Klay, they would have swept the Raptors. First off, that's disrespect to, like, just everything that Raptors team was, the championship Raptors team. First off, beyond all of that, let's be real. Klay played 19 of 24 quarters, okay? I think they won, like, three of those. So don't pretend like Klay didn't exist for that whole series. Yes, he got injured in two key moments. I'm not discounting the fact that, and Klay was cooking the Raptors in game six. But do not discount it like he didn't play the series. That the Raptors never won a game with Klay there. And of course, KD was hurt, came back in. Obviously, he shouldn't have, because that was really silly. But let's even put that into context, okay? KD comes back for game five, plays 12 minutes before he snapped his Achilles, which is, again, on the front office, on the medical team. That should be the takeaway, not necessarily anything else from it. Okay, but in those 12 minutes, KD had 11 points, right? Which is great. Wow. Like, the fact that he could just walk on the floor, no practice, nothing like that, not even fully healthy, scores 11 points. You know what happened after he scored 11 points in those 12 minutes? The Raptors were down 4 in the second quarter. You're telling me you can't win a game there? You're telling me you're going to get swept there? That's just wrong from Eric. And quite honestly, as a guy who was clearly a former coach at some levels, right? He said he, you know, could have coached at D1 20 years ago, or, you know, had coached some high school and stuff. You have to recognize the innovation that Nick Nurse, in terms of his specific coaching strategies, whether that was against Philly with the way he went big and he put Kawhi at two, right? And playing the two big lineups, he made a key coaching move that got them past a very tough Philly team that could have easily won the championship. That Milwaukee series, the way they guarded Giannis, the fact that they won four straight and swept the Bucks. That kind of machinations in terms of how they guarded Giannis. After the series, you have Giannis saying, you know, I'm literally, like, this is a quote, maybe not word for word, but this is what he said, was that in my sleep, I think about Marcus Gasol coming to double me with Kawhi trapping me. Like, I don't think about anybody else in the league. That's what I worry about. That specific kind of defense that Nick Nurse was putting on him. And you might say, well, that's Kawhi and Marcus Gasol, two defensive players of the years. You might be worrying about the individual player talent. Sure. But that scheme that Nick Nurse put together to beat Milwaukee four straight times, put some respect on that. And then the box and one in the finals, maybe the first time the box and one has been used in the NBA in about 50 years, and Nick Nurse pulls it out in the finals, and you're going to discredit that by saying, oh, you know, if the Warriors were healthy, they would, you know, sweep the Raptors. I'm sorry. First off, the fact that the KD thing gets brought up all the time, and that bothers me. Because let's be real, the Warriors were a championship team even without KD coming along. Okay, and the Raptors, when you're talking about playing Klay, Steph, and Draymond, were kicking their butts for the whole five games that those guys played together. Okay, so, like, just don't pretend like that wasn't already an accomplishment. The Raptors could have won the series in five. And then you put KD on the team, there's only down 4 points after he goes supernova for the 12 minutes that he's out there. Okay, they end up losing that game, whatever, but still, like, that is, it's not a game where, oh my God, the Raptors had no chance or whatever. It's a 4-point game. And the other thing is, how is the standard for any championship supposed to be that you have to have KD on a 73-win Warriors team? Otherwise, that championship is invalid. If you can't beat that team, honestly, if that's the standard for what a champion is, I think there might be like three champions in the NBA. That's how good that team was with KD. So you can't just say, oh, they didn't have KD, therefore the Raptors championship doesn't count. I'm sorry. It doesn't count to beat Steph, Draymond, and Klay? Are you kidding me? Right? Look, Iguodala off the bench, DeMarcus Cousins off the bench, like, come on, right? I'm not saying the Warriors are fully healthy, but the Raptors deserve full credit for that, and Nick deserves full credit for that. So that's that. And now with his actual son, Malachi Flynn, who I actually really like. He gave us a great interview. Yes, we made it a podcast exclusive, but it was a really fun interview. I really enjoyed talking to him. This is the situation with Malachi Flynn. He's a 23-year-old point guard. He's 6'1". He's with a 6'3" wingspan, right? He's slightly built. He does not have elite quickness, all right? Let's look at his career so far as a rookie, okay? And I really sympathize with the rookie here because they're A, playing in Tampa, B, the draft was late, C, they didn't have a summer league, they barely had a training camp. You know, he's playing behind Kyle and Fred. So I have so much sympathy for what happened to the rookie year. Wasn't that good of a rookie year. Okay, he had good moments at the end. There's no doubt. But he didn't play most of the rookie year. Goes down to the G League for 7 games. He did pretty well, 21-5-5. Kind of standard numbers when an NBA point guard goes down to the G League. Okay, when he did play for the Raptors, though, in limited time, what we saw was him shooting like 20% for like 40% of the season, maybe half the season. He would come in for short spins and just miss shots. And it was okay at the time because it was like, well, he's a third-string point guard, you know, whatever, he's finding his feet, whatever. At the end of the season, when the Raptors tanked, right, they didn't play Fred, they didn't play Kyle. What did Malachi do? He comes in and produces. Okay, he wins Rookie of the Month. I have to say, it was a big caveat that LaMelo Ball was not healthy, but still, he averaged about 12 points. Okay, was recently decent, had some nice games, so it was 20-10 games, but the Raptors lost most of those games, okay? That's what his rookie year was. Up and down, hard to sort of conclude. So coming into a sophomore year, what happens? He plays summer league, averages 21 in summer league, shoots 40% from three, you know, was mostly decent, I would say. The only thing I would say was, like, it was strange that he wasn't making more plays for others. He has 3 assists against 3 turnovers per game, but still, decent summer league showing. What happens in preseason? Delano plays ahead of him in preseason. Delano was the guy who would play ahead of him at the start of the year. Malachi Flynn DNP for the first 6 games. Obviously, there was still the Goran Dragic situation at the time. Delano was playing better than him, whatever. He doesn't even get into games when it wasn't garbage time until the 8th game of the season where he played 10 minutes against the Knicks. And I think based on that and based on the pattern so far we've seen this season, what Nick Nurse trusts Malachi with, and it's really just one thing, and it's just one thing, and it's just defending small, quick point guards. Because he got 10 minutes against the Knicks, got 22 minutes against the Jazz. The Knicks have Quickly, the Jazz have Conley, you know, they have Clarkson, who he guards a lot, 11 minutes against the Grizzlies, he was guarding Tyus Jones, 13 minutes against the Pacers, he was guarding TJ McConnell, 15 minutes against the Celtics, he was guarding Peyton Pritchard, and Pritchard does light him up quite a bit, but still, he was guarding Pritchard, 21 minutes against the Grizzlies, he was guarding Tyus Jones, 15 minutes against the Kings, he was guarding Fox or, you know, Mitchell or whoever they were really guarding. So that's all that Nick really trusts him with because of the fact that he is really small, doesn't really create that much offensively, and the only time you really trust him to play, because he can't necessarily play 2 small guards with him and Fred, and Fred's going to play a significant share of the minutes, is as the backup point guard, and he has to do a little bit better than Delano has. And honestly, if you go look at Delano's numbers, Delano has played a lot better than him this season, especially when you go down to the G League. Delano spent more time in the G League this year, right? But when Delano goes down there, he does great. What did Delano do the last time he went to the G League? Yesterday, 25 points in the first half for Delano Banton. And this is a regular thing for Delano. He'll go down there, put 30 up, average 10 rebounds, get 12 assists. Like, he's just doing great down there. Every time he goes down there, he dominates. Malachi going down to G League. This is what he's done so far. December 6th, 7 for 21 from the field, minus 13. December 11th, he goes down to the G League, 6 of 20 from the field, minus 28. And the last time he played, January 10th, 3 of 12 from the field, benched in the fourth quarter as the Raptors make this great comeback against the Long Island Nets. And Malachi, and all of these games, if you have watched these G League games, Delano has outplayed him. That's why Delano's ahead of him right now. And when you look at Malachi on the season, averaging 2.8 points per game, 35% shooting, 27% from three, he's on open threes, according to NBA stats, right, which is a defender nowhere near 4 feet or more, okay? Nowhere within 4 feet. He's 10 for 39. Last year, at this range, he was 43 of 135, which is 32%. So we're talking about a guy who on open threes is shooting less than 30% from the field. What do you want Nick to do? And so as a father, I appreciate that he's really involved. But the situation is his son hasn't played well enough, even during the chances when he goes down the G League. And I realize this is a really long rant. This is more time than Malachi is going to play, maybe for the rest of the month. But that's what the situation is. Don't blame Nick. Don't blame other people. Your son has to play better. This is professional sports. This isn't the YMCA. This isn't AAU. This isn't any of that stuff. When you come into games, you got to produce, even in the G League level. And he hasn't done that this season. So that's what it is. He hasn't played better than Delano. That's why Delano's played ahead of him. That's why Malachi is a third-string point guard. He's played about as many minutes usually as a third-string point guard does. That's what it is.
God damn, Stephen Asian Smith over here. Take a breath there, Will. No, I think you make a lot of good points there. I think, you know, Eric is, like you mentioned, just passionate about his father. You know, I think my pushback would be, too, that, listen, at the end of the day, Malachi is a late first rounder. We've seen what he can and can't do on the court. I think my pushback would be is just that, you know, if we are developing players this year, and trust me, you've laid out the case of why he doesn't deserve to have any minutes, I'm still of the mind that there should be more room for him to just play, whether it is here with the Toronto Raptors or with the Raptors 905, because as much as we celebrate this organization as a great team when it comes to player development, I think we should also point out when it sometimes feels like a player like Malachi just seems kind of lost in the system. And again, I get the two sides. You know, the one side is, has he earned those minutes? You know, what has he done to show that he deserves to play? But there's also a fine line of just letting guys play and letting them develop so you do have a larger sample size to see what he can show. And, you know, the only way to solve this is to have Nick Nurse to come on the show and do an interview of the century with
Absolutely. You know, like, what? We should have Nick and Eric Flynn actually on the show at the same time. We don't bring a surprise guest like we did with
Listen, as you know, even just getting Nick Nurse himself is difficult. So let's not add to the difficulty of it. But all jokes aside, I think that's the other thing, too, is like, I would love to just hear Nick's response to all this, right? Like, I don't think he necessarily
Someone will ask him today.
Yeah, but like, I don't necessarily need, like, you know, he doesn't have an obligation as an NBA head coach to be responding to, you know, the father of every player on his team. But, you know, these are things that people are interested in. And that's why, like, I kind of took issue the other day when he was calling out the media for being negative, because this is one of the most media-friendly places. Like, and especially towards Nick. This show,
yeah.
No, but seriously though, if you think about a climate like a New York or LA, this would be front page, and you know Nick would actually have to sit down and do an interview and talk about all of this. But instead, I think he's just going to be able to brush off a question via Zoom, and he's just going to be able to just answer one question. And you know, as much as I think people always complain about how, hey, the Raptors get no attention in the U.S. and all this stuff, you know, this is the benefit of it. Like, this team gets to go by without a lot of this controversy that a lot of the other teams go through. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think, like with anything else, I love to just hear from the both sides. And, you know, we know how the media industry works and this stuff. So I guess we're not really going to get those answers. Hopefully we might. But I think it's interesting. And I think, you know, your points are very valid, you know, from where Eric's coming from. Trust me, I know it's a biased point of view because Malachi is his son. But I can see some of the points that he's making too, which leads me to the question for you, Will. If you were a father and your son was benched by Nick Nurse, would be your reaction? Because we know that after Raptors games, you have gotten heated. And I actually pulled up this tweet yesterday. I was laughing because there was one game when the referees, I think, you know, there was a foul free throw discrepancy for the Raptors.
It was against the Bucks. They were calling that Chris
Middleton names are, and you said without any context, you wrote their names are, and you listed out the three referees, which I still want that tweet printed out and framed, an all time tweet to me. This guy just tweeting out the refs' names. He's like, yeah, merch coming soon. He's like, yo, dox these three people because the Raptors had a 39-11 free throw discrepancy. So I want to know, given the context that you have known to get heated, even when your son isn't even on the Raptors, if your son, Will Lue Jr., was on the Raptors and Nick Nurse was not playing him like Malachi Flynn, what would your social media reaction be?
I mean, you understand that clearly, I'm going to be a very strict Asian father moving forward when I have kids eventually. And I don't think anyone would be harder on the kid than actually me. So I don't think I'd be going to blame them. Like, you know what? This is what it is, okay? Let's say you and I know we got to go to break eventually, but let's say you go to, you're a parent, you know, your kid comes home with like a 60 on his report card. Are you going to be one of those parents that looks at that 60 and doesn't look at your child? And goes instead to the parent-teacher interviews and gets really mad at the teacher and blames them for the reason their kid is getting 60s? Or are you going to talk to your kid, try to figure out what they're struggling at, try to get them some help, try to make sure that they do better in their class so that eventually you won't have to go to the parent-teacher interview and be complaining about a 60? Right? What's the approach here? Because Malachi Flynn right now is failing the class. And instead of the father being like, "What do you need? Do you need me to put you in Kumon? Right? The 905 is Kumon. Do you need to go to Kumon just so that you can figure out how to do addition? Do you need to figure out do you need extra supports? Do you need sort of like are there other things distracting you? Like whatever it is, but like That's what you should focus on, not the other part of it. Because it's kind of embarrassing to go to the parent-teacher interview and blame the teacher for the fact that your kid has a 50. That's what it is.
No, that's interesting. You know,
and also, by the way, like, I'm not saying, like, look, parents can do whatever. Wait, I don't even have a kid, so I can't even speak to this at all, right? But the situation is this. There's every, you know, like, every single player on the team has parents, right? Whether they're involved or not involved, I don't really know. But, like, and, you know, one example is, like, you know, Ken Burch's mom, Wendy Sparks, you know, has a whole
podcast. Shout outs to Wendy. Imagine if Wendy went at Nick. That would actually be hilarious.
She has a whole podcast, and she talks to Kem sometimes on the podcast, talks to other Raptors moms as well, and other players' moms. It's really, honestly, a really nice podcast, Courtside Moms. Does she ever go on the podcast and say, Nick Nurse is not playing my son Kem ahead of, he's not starting him at center, or he's not doing this or not doing that? No.
No, trust me, I get it. Because part
and we don't
of it
have to
is,
hear about that.
You asked Malachi about this too, and part of it, and I think, you know, LeVar Ball is the best example, right? In terms of, you know, at some point, it's about looking out for your own kid, because this is just going to draw more attention to the situation that the player doesn't necessarily want. And by the way, the correct answer is if Will Lue Jr. was getting benched by Nick Nurse, now coaching in his 37th season with the Toronto Raptors, you would tweet out their names are Nick Nurse, Nate Bjorgren, Trevor Gleason. That is what you would do.
No,
so don't lie to me.
Nah,
don't give me no,
nah,
don't give
me,
me no, 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 don't give me no parent teacher analogy. And by the way, the Asian parent approach to a disappointing child is pretending that he or she doesn't exist. So, you know, thankfully Thankfully, I'll never have a kid. But if Alex Wong Jr. was on the Raptors, I would unfollow him on social media and disassociate from him completely until he made an all-NBA team. That would be my approach. But yeah, I don't know. It's a fun topic to talk about. I mean, usually, to be honest with you, I'm always like, oh, we shouldn't dive into a lot of these things. But I did feel like his comments were worthwhile to talk about, because this has been a storyline that I feel like just has been brewing the whole season. Everybody's been asking about Malachi, right?
Yeah, and that's fine. But like, when he plays, he has to show more, or he has to show more behind practice. That's what it is, you know? And yeah, otherwise, I mean, like, look, to your point about drawing attention to the situation, we weren't going to talk about Malachi today if Eric didn't, you know, post these things publicly. That's kind of what it is. So I guess now we talk about Malachi. Nick might get asked about Malachi. Maybe he'll play. We'll know. Who knows? I mean, Washington does have a small guard. You know, someone's got to put a handle on Raul Neto for 10 minutes, and maybe Malachi gets that time. I don't know.
Imagine if Malachi gets a career high tonight.
I think he had good games against Washington last year. He had good games against Washington last year.
All right, free Malachi Flynn, man. That's the conclusion. So we're going to be taking some fan questions after the break. Man, I think that's three straight not-so-positive segments for us. This is a good streak that we're on. So one of the things that we're doing, so before we go to break, I actually wanted to do a fan giveaway. So Kyle Lowry did not play against the Toronto Raptors earlier this week, but he will be returning to Toronto maybe on February 1st. We are actually not sure.
It's a back-to-back. I don't know, man.
Yes, and there's going to be no fans there. So Adidas Canada has released a collection this week, a Kyle Lowry collection called the Forever Home Pack. It includes a cool t-shirt and hoodie. And on the t-shirt and hoodie, it features a lot of prominent stats from Kyle's 9 seasons in Toronto, including the 16 triple-doubles, 601 games, 1,518 three-pointers, and of course the one championship. I have three stats that was missing. Number one is one attempt at crawling between George Hill's legs to draw a foul. The second stat is 4 months he went without talking to Masai after Masai traded DeMar. And 50 rounds of golf he played last year in Tampa after the trade deadline. But in all honesty, it's great merch. And, you know, I reach out to Adidas Canada to see if they would be willing to give away some merch from the exclusive collection to one of our listeners. So now, before you rush to dial in and talk to our producer, Derek, just letting you know, you have to answer a question. So please listen to this first. So dial us at either of these numbers, 1-888-666-0590 or 416-870-0590. And you have to tell us the Boston Celtics player Kyle Lowry had to throw the ball over to get it into the hands of OG Anunoby for his Game 3 buzzer beater in the bubble. Again, 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590. And you have to tell our producer, Derek, the Boston Celtics player that Kyle had to throw the ball over to get it in the hands of OG for his buzzer beater in the bubble. So the first caller with the correct answer will get the prize from Adidas Canada. There. I'm always trying to do things for fans. You know what I'm saying, Will?
Absolutely. This is a great thing because the hoodies are incredible. The hoodies look incredible, and obviously everyone wants Kyle merch. So that's a good spot for us to take a break. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu, and I continue to be joined by producer and co-host, Alex Wong. We are going to get to your Twitter and, I guess, Instagram questions, Alex. But first, we have some Friday shout-outs, as always.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Big Willie Style, a.k.a. Will Hellmuth, the second best Asian poker player in the world, yes, behind Wesley Chen, a.k.a. DF West. So just want to give a shout-out, as always, on Fridays to everyone who made the Raptors Show and the Raptors Reaction Podcast possible this week, including our producer, Derek, JR, Ryan Fabro-Kyle, Maria, DT, Greg Sangsoni, Pat Flash, and everyone else supporting us behind the scenes. As always, a thank you to the guests this week for making the time: Sidra, Blake Murphy, Michael Grange, Vivek Jacob, and Faisal Kamisa. Will, you've got a shout out as well, right?
That's right. I wanted to shout out the mysterious mastermind. I actually can't get this person's name. Behind the YouTube channel Raptors Moments. He hasn't been posting us of late, and I have missed those videos. I hope all was good. But I think, Alex, I think you showed me this too, but he did a remix of your Lethal Weapon. I don't even know what that song
was
called.
It was like Chopped and Screwed. Yeah. And someone on Twitter actually sent it to me. So shout outs to this YouTube channel. I cannot believe the reach of my freestyles. And like I mentioned on yesterday's show, I'm going to lock myself in an empty room with no books, no consoles, no phones, no nothing for a year and return with freestyles for you, Will.
The pandemic wasn't enough, huh? You said, I need next level lockdown.
I said I need another pandemic. No, shouts to the YouTube channel. So let's get to these questions. By the way, follow William Liu on Instagram at WillLiuFitz. What a wonderfully curated Instagram account by his business manager. So, okay, let me start with this one. Since we did talk about Malachi and Eric in the first segment, someone asked, now that Eric Flynn has given us the nickname Nick Nursery, can you predict his other nicknames? So I did give some thought to this. Justin Champagne would be Shampenny, as in S-H-A-M. He's a sham, a.k.a. Justin, why does he miss so many putbacks? He would
I'm not with that one.
No, these are hypotheticals. These are not actual nicknames. I'm putting myself in the shoes of Eric Flynn. Nate Biergren would be Nate the Consultant. Bobby Webster would be referred to as Masai Jr. Utah Watanabe would be Utah, when will he make a three? Mihailuk would be Svi, my son could make more threes than him. Yeah, that one didn't even make sense. I was kind of running out. It's actually hard to come up with mean nicknames for people, to be honest.
Nick Nursery is just so funny, though. I don't know. I mean, it's probably like an autocorrect on the phone. Man. But it's so funny. Like, it actually genuinely is hilarious. I'll give Eric that. I agree with
that nickname. Out is the NN hat. In is a, I need a Nick Nursery hat, man.
You know what Nick should do is put Nick Nursery on some of his merch.
Ooh. This would be a great collab opportunity. Yeah. I think, whenever you're faced with some controversy, the first thing you need to think about is, how can I make merch out of this?
Yes, so you're exactly right.
Yeah. All right. What's up, Will? Well, what else do we got?
So I got some. So I did actually ask for Twitter questions. And the reason for that is because I always get people who will drop messages in the direct messages about the Raptors. And I always forget to look at them because I always just look at my mentions.
Because you're so popular. We get it. We get it. All right, Will. Follow William Liu at Will Liu Fitz on Instagram.
Okay, fair enough. All right. The first question is, who fits the Raptors lineup better between Caris LeVert or Miles Turner? So obviously the Pacers, they've had a lot of injuries. By the way, shout out to the Pacers. I watched them upset the Warriors in overtime last night. A very small guard who I had no idea who it was scoring on Steph Curry like regularly and Andre Iguodala and stuff. Good for him. And they also beat the Lakers as well. That's right. I saw that. Yeah, I heard that. Anyway.
What's wrong with you, man?
So who would fit better between the two of them? I think for me, it's Miles Turner, pretty clearly. I think with Caris LeVert, you would get a player who I'm not even sure he wants to come off the bench, quite honestly. He seems like a guy who Probably has ambitions to be a starter, which is normal, right? But he's also accomplished enough to the point where I don't know if you could capably bring him off the bench, have him be super happy with that role. And then the other thing is he doesn't shoot the three very well, and he's a guy who creates with the ball in his hand. Now, I think I really like him as a driver and a slasher when he's healthy and everything like that. I thought he did really well against the Raptors in the Raptors-Nets series, which no one remembers from the bubble. Obviously, the Nets had nobody, but I think Kiefer Sykes might have been on that team. No, it was Chris Chosen, never mind. But anyway, Caris LeVert, he's just a guy who can create, but I don't know if Toronto is the specific best situation for him. I think the Raptors, what they need is shooting off the bench. They need guys who can shoot, because they actually have guys who could put downhill pressure on the basket, especially between what Pascal is doing, what Scotty can do, what OG can do, and even Fred is a pretty good driver as well, especially when he looks to pass. Like, they don't really need a guy who drives. They need a guy who can catch and shoot and finish. And so for me, Miles Turner does a better job of that. And Miles Turner is clearly better than almost all the Raptors. Actually, no, he's clearly better than all the Raptors' bigs. Whereas LeVert, to me, I'm not even sure if he's a better fit than, let's say, someone like Gary Trent Jr., who has done quite well this year. So that's my preference. What's the next IG question?
Can Delano Banton outrun a subway train from Young Bloor to Union? Keep in mind the train has to stop at each station, and Delano gets a start while the train opens its doors at Young Bloor during rush hour. What are your thoughts on this, Will?
You know, given that Delano grew up in Toronto, I know, just speaking from personal experience, that he has definitely tried to outrun a bus at some point. Like, you know that feeling when you're looking at the transit app and you're like, oh, the bus can come in 2 minutes. No problem. I'm going to lock the door. I'm going to get out of my house and walk to the bus stop. And then the bus is early. Then you try to run and outrun the bus to the next stop. And I tried to do this like a day after I recovered from COVID, and my lungs were screaming at me and I missed the bus. But
were your lungs screaming yabba dabba doo?
Yeah, my lungs were basically Fred VanVleet in the last 2 weeks here. But yeah, I mean, I think Delano probably could do it too. Also, just because of the fact that, let's be real, if you take the subway, there's like a 50% chance that there's going to be a delay.
It's honestly a 50% like the hit chance rate is going to be
incredibly bad.
Yep, yeah. There's a 50% chance that you're just going to have to exit the platform and never get your $3.25 back because the trains are not running.
How are you so pressed about this?
Yo, we got any lawyers listening to the Raptor show? Let's get this class lawsuit going, man. I want my $12 back from the last 2 years. So your answer is Delano could outrun the subway train.
From Bloor Young to Union. Yeah.
All right, Sportsnet video team, let's reach out to Delano Banton's people and let's see if we can make this happen during
Delano's rapid
season.
Man.
Oh,
he's rapid.
Yeah. All right. What's next
question from the Twitter DMs? Said, hey, Will, potential question for the show. This was also for a couple weeks back, so I apologize for missing it. But if Boucher keeps playing well and the Raptors keep struggling with centers, is there merit in the idea of swapping Gary for Boucher in the starters? This would be no fault of Gary's, but it would balance out the rotation a bit more and Raptors get more size up front. I don't actually hate the idea. I just think that Chris has found such a good role as an energy guy off the bench. I think especially off the bench, a guy who plays with all-out energy, which is what Boucher has done in the last month or so, I think really is a nice pick-me-up to have. I think what you could do is try to stagger the rotation a little bit, where you notice that when the Raptors are fully healthy, which has been very rare, what they'll do is they'll start without a center, but then like 3 or 4 minutes into the first quarter, so like really early, maybe even before the first TV timeout, they'll sub out Scotty Barnes and they'll put in Kem Birch. Maybe at that point you put in Gary instead and you go super big in the starting five. I think the shooting would be a concern, but I think really the shooting has just been a concern almost regardless of who's available for the Raptors. But maybe you go that route instead of trying to get Scotty out the rotation early. But I wouldn't personally do this. I wouldn't mess with Chris's role whatsoever. He's done really well in it. And I think Gary's really important in his role as well, because we've seen in the last couple of games, if the Raptors had Gary against Phoenix, that game would have been flipped. If they had Gary against Miami, I think that game might have been flipped. And I think especially the game that they lost to Dallas, they definitely needed Gary scoring in that one too. So I wouldn't flip it, but it's not a terrible idea. I like where they're going with this one.
All right, next question. Alex, would you rather fight 20 duck-sized Will Lose or one Will Lose-sized duck? So let's break this down. So this is 20 baby ducks that looks like Will Lou coming at me versus a giant duck with a giant head that is
not Slim Duck.
Not Slim Duck. This is Peking more duck. Peking duck. Oh my god. I can't believe we said that at the same time. We can't do this, man. Jinx.
Nah, we're too corny.
20. I would fight 20 duck size will lose. I would just boot all of them. So that is my answer. All right, what you got?
By the way, I was just going to say, a duck is my favorite animal. I just always thought it was well cool that they could fly and swim and also, I guess, technically walk, although there's more like a waddle. But anyway, salute to ducks, just the animal.
All right. One day we're going to, when Eric Flynn doesn't post on Facebook one of these Fridays, let's rank your top 50 favorite animals. You know how the NBA is doing the 75th anniversary top 75 players? We're going to do Will Lose top 75 animals, okay?
Yeah, fair enough, man. All
right. What would be number 75, by the way? Give us a little teaser, Will.
Number 75 would probably go with the red panda. Not like a panda at all, but, you know, still called the red panda. Anyway, salute to red panda as well.
I don't know why this is the funniest thing to me right now. Just you breaking down animals.
No, why are these the questions we get on Instagram versus the questions I get on Twitter are like this? Like, after watching the Mar the last couple of days, I think this was around right after you hit the two back-to-back game winners. On New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day. After watching them all the past couple of days, is it worth asking if the Raptors will be better off today if they just kept the band together? Is Lowry, DeMar, and JV in 2022 potentially a title contender? I would say definitely not.
They won a championship.
Exactly. Yeah. But I did think it was kind of interesting.
I didn't mean to disrespect the question. I get the hypothetical. I think if you strip away the championship and you look at the roster construction, I mean, the Raptors gave up a lot of talent and lost a lot of players in free agency the last 2-3 years. But we would have been talking about our seventh straight second-round exit right now.
Yeah, the Raptors would be the Leafs at this point, actually. That's actually where they would be. But how good of a team in 2022 would Lowry, DeMar, and JV be? I think actually, like, so JV can't play, like, the full 48 minutes just because I think even defensively, like, the issues are more now than they were before. Having said that, though, he's so much better in his role now. Like, he's so efficient. He'll give you, like, 20 and 15 in, like, 25 minutes. And, you know, I think JV now has really improved his game. DeMar obviously has stayed as good as he is, maybe even better. Kyle, I would say, is a little bit past it to the point where I don't know if he can, like, carry the team the way he used to, but that would be a very good team. And if you told me it was like Kyle, DeMar, JV, plus like some other supporting players who are probably defenders versus this current Raptors core in terms of just like in a playoff series, I might go with Lowry, DeMar, and JV over what the Raptors have as their top three, let's say with Fred, Pascal, and who's the third? I don't know. OG, I guess? I don't know. That would be a seven-game series, but I think Lowry and DeMar would win another one in a seven-game series. Yeah. But that's more of a credit to those guys, though. Those guys are solid vets who have really found a way to extend their careers and be great in their roles.
Yeah, which team actually has a bench, though? That's all I want to know.
Let's just assume both benches have five Malachis on it.
Oh, wow. Five duck-sized Malachis or one Malachi-sized duck? Which bench would you rather have? Next question.
That's Nick Nurse's worst nightmare.
From our guy, Blake Murphy, Chris Boucher recently got the Slim Jim sponsorship deal. What is the next best food sponsor for a Raptor player? Do you have anything off the top of your head, William?
Let's get a Jollof Rice sponsorship for Precious Achiuwa and OG Anunoby. I was watching the Raptors Heat game, and I noticed that like 4 out of 10 players on the court were Nigerian, which is, you know, salute to Nigerian basketball players. They really come on strong, especially over the last, like, I would say 5 or 6 years or so. Like, it used to be like you kind of knew who all of them were, but like recently, it's just like every team has guys. And, you know, I guess you could get Masai involved in that sponsorship as well.
Yeah, I want to get David Johnson a sponsorship to Ruth's Chris, just because I am a David Johnson fan now and I want him to be on the map. I think it'd be cool for Justin Champagny to get in the sponsorship game. Maybe he can do like a McDonald's where they're just like shooting nuggets at the basket and he's grabbing them, all of them, because he's great at just grabbing everything. I don't know. McDonald's, hit me up. I got better ideas than that. And, you know, this is just a early brainstorming, you know. Let me hit you with the deck later. And I guess the obvious one would be Utah Ramen Ishin. Let's do a 2-for-1 question. Someone wanted to know, is the ramen date off because Utah is currently benched? No, the ramen date is off because of Omicron.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's Doug Ford. Doug Ford's the reason why. No, he. I mean, he doesn't have my number. You're right. But no, I will definitely 100% still have. Like I said, man, I just want to be Utah's friend. Like, I don't even care to interview him.
Like I told you, instead of posting the referees' names, I need you to go on Twitter and just post your number. Okay? Just post your number to the public and at Utah Watanabe. I'm doing it then.
No, don't, man. Please. I beg you. Don't do that.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. Good call. Okay. What else you got in your DMs for your questions?
Well, someone actually responded to us on Twitter. I think you put out a call for questions, and someone said, if development through winning is the Raptors' philosophy, what is the organization looking at to determine success? Wins, hard-fought losses, performance on and off the court, what are we missing as fans looking in? How is development quantified? So I think, first off, like, there's a couple of things. This is such a big topic, and really in the, like, five, you know, ish minutes we have left to finish the show, that's not going to cover all of them. I think for me, definitely you want to see how your best players playing together stack up against the best teams in the league. And that's what we've seen recently, is that the Raptors can compete. Can they finish these games? I don't know, actually. That's still more TBD. I think especially what the Raptors do in crunch time, especially in the last shot scenario, is something that we devoted a whole show to. And it's something that maybe still needs to be answered. But clearly, they can defend a lot of these teams. They can push them down to the last minute, whether you're talking about Phoenix, Miami, Milwaukee, or even Dallas of late, who've been playing great. So I think that's important. I think the other part is just like seeing how much tangibly something in terms of skill improves, right? And then you also look at their work habits, which guys are coming in early and getting up that many shots and you know, getting the respect from the vets like Justin Champagne is, you know, like, do you see kind of these habits sort of start to form? And then it's really just about nurturing all that. Like, I don't think all the I think development is like an iceberg. Like, you're only seeing, like, what you're seeing on the court is like probably 20% of development. The large part of it is what they do away from the court in terms of, like, you know, in practice, when they go on 905, what are they doing? And on those fronts, that's how the Raptors kind of evaluate some of these things. But it's hard to say, really. They clearly have the right formula, though. So I do trust them on that front.
Man, development is an iceberg. Confucius Will Liu is back. Put that on a cool graphic. Man, I love that one, man. I'm still thinking about you ranking 75 animals, by the way.
Okay.
Like, that's going to be the funniest show. And I want people to debate it on Twitter. Like, they debate how Klay Thompson was the 77th best player. No, I think to your question about development, I think a lot of things you already touched on. But to me, it's just, there is a selflessness and there's just this commitment and approach towards a common goal. And I know this sounds like corporate jargon that was thrown at me in my 20s, but like, you look at the players and the leaders on this team, like Fred, like Pascal and OG, they're not selfish players, right? And I think sometimes we do have to take a step back and appreciate that, because when you have young players, you know, who are on particular contracts, who want touches and all of this stuff, you can get in a situation where people are like, hey, like, I want to be the number one guy on this team. And like, we haven't seen that so far with this team. So I think for me, it's just that getting them buying into the program. And I think the Raptors have done a tremendous job of that. They just don't have a label like the Miami Heat do, like Heat culture, but the Raptors do deserve to be at the top of the list when it comes to development. So that's all I got for you for today, Will Liu. I hope you have a good weekend, my brother.
Oh, wow. Thank you. By the way, the last thing about the Heat versus the Raptors, I think the Heat take the approach of getting guys who can score and then teach them how to defend, and the Raptors take the opposite approach of getting guys who can defend and teaching them how to score. It's actually really interesting. But both teams are very good at development. But that does it for us today. We've run out of time. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptors Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, and please rate and review our show. Thanks once again to my producer and co-host, Alex Wong, to our board producer, Derek Bandeo, and we will talk to you soon.